Welcome back, everybody, to another episode. I'm one of your co-hosts, Michelle B. Griffin.
And I'm the other half of Michelle Squared, Michelle J. Raymond. And Michelle, this week with our listeners, there's something that I reckon probably everyone, including us, has been guilty of at some stage. And that is letting your LinkedIn profile gather dust and get out of date. And I'm going to put my hand up and say it's, you know, the cobbler's children has no shoes or whatever that saying goes. I think I'm guilty of that. It's something that is not up there in my top 10 list of fun things to do, but it's so important when you're building your brand on LinkedIn. Are you guilty of this at times?
Oh yeah, I totally can do it. There's sections, for me, it's the experience section and updating outdated things there. There's so many nooks and crannies, Michelle. And also, you know, with LinkedIn making so many recent changes like creator mode, it makes sense that you go in and make sure, do I have this on? Do I have this off? Is this relevant anymore? But the number one area, and we can come back to this before we end because it's so important. I think I want to end the podcast on this about the headline. So many people, they are doing new things and their headline is not updated. And we are just missing out on connecting with the right people and opportunities because that is probably the number one. But I don't want to spoil the rest of the show. There's plenty of places to get these things updated. So let's start with where you think is the number one place to start.
Look, I think the place to start is anywhere that will get you started, to be honest, because I know that it's probably an overwhelming task for many people, sitting down, investing time in something that may feel like you're not getting a return on that time when you're already busy. You know, I'm working with an amazing consultant right about now who is doing some really cool things in the world. And when you took a look at her profile, like honestly, there were so many gaps in this particular case and it hadn't been updated for forever and a day almost. And when we started to do it, it was crazy, Michelle. We had 34 projects and 54 publications, or maybe it was the other way around, but either way, big numbers. So missing projects and publications, and these were technical papers that, you know, she's literally changing the world. And I was like, no one would have known about them because they were just not on the profile. And you know, I bang on about updating your achievements, but just little things. When was the last time you did a course and maybe got a certificate and didn't go back and add that in? So that's one little way that I think we should do. But for some people, that could be a big job, especially those serial people like somebody else on this podcast who do lots and lots of courses.
Yes, but I've kind of calmed down in that respect, thankfully, because one thing is I try to tell my clients when I'm working, you know, I teach workshops and then the companies will hire me to do one-on-ones after. And I'll say, be very strategic though about those courses because you want the top ones to show because when you scroll down the profile, you only get so many placements. And I've seen clients I'm working with and they have this amazing huge thing, but then it's buried because it's just a LinkedIn learning course that is not very special or unique. So I would say also be look and see what's very strategic, what positions you for where you are and where you want to be, because that's super important. One of the things I see clients that do not have featured section, it is your thought leadership area. It is the one place you can feel free to spotlight your achievements with media, with links, newsletters, articles. There's so many places. I'll have clients say, Michelle, I actually spoke at this big conference the other day and then I have pictures and I'm like, we got to see it. This is, especially if they want to do more speaking in the industry. I'm like, this is your entree into doing that. Are you laughing at yourself because you're guilty?
I absolutely am. And I'm so glad this isn't a video podcast because I'm sitting there going, are you talking to me? Are you saying, oh, the trip to social media marketing world and all the photos that I just received that are nowhere to be seen on my profile at this very minute in time, which of course I will take away this action. And also just listing it under my speaker thing. Yes. I got as far as updating my banner and used a few photos there, but I certainly didn't go through and say, okay, where else can I make the most of this? Like, of course I want to highlight I was on a stage at Social Media Marketing World because one of my goals is more international speaking or local speaking events. And, you know, to not do it, and this is what I'm saying, I'm guilty of this just as much because I always probably like a lot of listeners, I'm doing all my client work and making sure all my clients' profiles are all fabulous. And what about mine? So I will do that, listeners. I'm going to take that action myself to go back, update a couple of things. My work experience section, which I've got a special place that's set up for my speaking stuff. And just to make sure that I've got, you know, international speaker. I think I added it to my headline, but I need to go and check. And just other places where it needs to be. So,
And skills. LinkedIn recently came out with the ability to have 100 skills, which, Michelle, why would that ever be a thing? I think that dilutes the madness of...
I can answer that because based on all your skills, that will tell you what jobs you should be aligned with. So they're moving away, I think, from kind of going, you know what? Now these days, everybody's got a piece of paper or a certificate from maybe college or university or whatever. Everyone's kind of even. So what makes us different? It's those skills that people are looking for as employers. And so now, based on your skills that you put in, it can recommend if you're the right fit for particular jobs that you're looking at that are advertised on LinkedIn. So maybe it's helpful. I'll take it. LinkedIn feels a little strange at the moment, and maybe I've just got to adjust. But I don't know. There's a few things coming through that we're like, not sure about that.
100.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. How can you have 100 skills? Like that makes you a master of all trades. So don't get me started in that one. But in the context of this, just make sure that your skills are relevant in your about section and your all the areas that you can now sprinkle and see them in pretty much everywhere from the top profile down after featured. I think you can have them everywhere. So make sure those are very aligned. You know, I work with a lot of women who want to get on board seats. And so we want to make sure the board, mention of board and governance are all there too. But you're right. I teach a workshop, you know, LinkedIn for Leaders. It's all about my profile framework. And number E, I spell it profile, is extracurricular activities. And exactly what you're saying, all those membership organizations, the publications, the projects, the honors, the awards. I even have a client who had patents. I'm like, wow, that's incredible. So all those things you're doing, you should be at least looking monthly to edit or add, adjust. But also remember, if you've got one that is just like the best thing in the world, do we really want to make sure something lesser is going to bury that wow factor? So that might even be my actionable tip, because it's all about positioning yourself. That's how I work with my clients. Now, you might have a little bit different slant with your B2B client. So what other areas do you see a red flag to get updated?
Recommendations. I think that they're a neglected area and such a powerful source of feedback and getting those words that should be used as part of our branding. How we're showing up to other people is really important. And it's interesting what you can learn from that. And quite often I find that people have none. They also haven't given any, which I think is important to do as well. But ultimately, what we've got going on is making sure that we go back and have a look and say, who else can speak to our experience? It has so much credibility and weighs in on that. Like, I can say I'm amazing, but if someone else who's my client says that I'm amazing for what I did for them, that is just, you know, tenfold anything else that I could say about myself, maybe even more. But I think recommendations, have a look down. If you haven't got one that at least says, you know, late, you know, 2023, or I'd prefer to see 2024 so they look current, you only need two or three. We don't need a lot, but just make sure that they're within recent history.
Absolutely. I see some that are 10, 15 years old. I tell everyone, look, it doesn't have to be your boss or your employee. There's like 9 or 7 different relationship angles, slants, even people have been on your podcast speaking, you name it. So you can think outside the box for those to request. And the beautiful thing is they're completely legit because you have to be a first degree connection. In the age of fake social proof, you know, we know these are legit because it's on the platform. And you can use those other places too. That's the beauty of it. So that's a very good actionable area to reflect. And with the creator mode being updated, having a call to action in your profile as we're moving back up that way, I think that's an area that people overlook. It's a free off the platform link. So I'm always pushing for that call to action in your profile.
I'm always going to say, while we're doing it on our profile, don't forget the company page. Add a dollar for every LinkedIn company page that has got broken links, outdated information, because someone 5 employees back again. They created it for whatever reason at the time. And everyone else went, oh, well, that's done. We don't need to look at it. And it's like you say, a living document. It's not something that we set and forget. So don't forget, as always, a quick reminder that your company page needs some love to build up that brand as well. But, you know, I keep looking at my own. And if I was to look at mine, I'd probably give myself a 6 out of 10 for how well right now it's current and updated. And I think I've done a pretty good job on the recommendations and some of the other pieces that we've said. But I think how I would describe myself in my about section and my work experience for the business that I've got now, because of Operation Rebrand last year, and even, you know, conversations that we have around where my brand is at, the wording I would choose to use now is very different to what I would have even 6 months ago. And so from that perspective, this is where I've got to go back and refine what products do I want to push, what ones do I want to take away, but especially the words that I want to use. I did a poll recently to find out how people viewed my brand. Was I a social seller? Was I anything to do with employee advocacy? Was it anything to do with branding, you know, which is the one I see myself least at, but it's the one that came through resounding with everyone else, that that's how they see me, which is hilarious given I'm talking on the LinkedIn branding show every week for over 100 episodes. I wrote the book with you on it, like, and I still didn't have that insight for myself. And this is why having conversations with other people about how they see you can really help you nail this.
So as we nudge back up to the top, we'll hit the bio last, but a banner. You just mentioned yours for the company side and the profile side. But yes, you know, there's a lot of people floating around with gray profiles. Very few people I see use the LinkedIn can ones. When I'm working with clients, like, I didn't want to use the LinkedIn one for some reason. So they'll leave them gray. But then I tell them about, look, if you're in a jam, Google Canva LinkedIn banner templates, and there's so many, you can just start with something, right? And then put a value prop, something there. Take that visibility space, as I call it, and use it to your benefit. Now, the thing about it is, Michelle, when people get on your profile, they really only see it once. It's not something it follows you around. Because we know, as we end this episode, this short and sweet actionable episode, the bio, the headline, whatever you want to call it, is the most important thing to keep updated. So let's get into that.
I think it definitely is. And we can use keywords. And as we said on some other shows about this specifically, it's about having, you know, the first 50 characters really count because they follow you in other places. So that and your photo. So quick shout out, make sure that you update your photo. That's probably my actionable tip. I've seen some photos where I've met people, Michelle, especially at social media marketing world, went to connect with them on LinkedIn. I was like, is that the same person? Like, maybe our hair's a bit grayer, longer, shorter. But, you know, we've changed styles. It's out of date, lost weight, gained weight, you name it. You know, there's so many things that change in our photos. So, you know, having something that's current, you are what you are. Like, but that headline and the profile photo, they are going everywhere with you. Every message, every comment, everything that you do, every post. So that's why it's so important. There's so many things, but I think it's just the action of dusting it all off, Michelle. More so, like, just... it's time to give it a bit of LinkedIn love. So I'm going to leave that as my tip. It's just a profile photo that's recent. And a fresh look can often get people's attention as well.
My actual tip, judging by when you said, I'm going to take from the profile and I have a little tool people can use for their profile bio. I also get annoyed when I see people whose profile, they're just a speck in the picture. Like, it's so far away, I can't even see there's a human in the picture. So make it a close up. Please, that's one of my pet peeves. I want to see your face. It's a first impression trust factor. Okay, so that's one thing. So, you know, you can just click on your thing, edit it, and LinkedIn allows you to zoom in. But the other tool I'll recommend as far as my tip is to use wordcounter.net. I've mentioned it before in the podcast. And when I work with clients, we'll cut and paste what they have now, pop it in wordcounter.net, and we just kind of finagle how it looks. We get the character count. And it's a beautiful way to kind of write it, see how spacers, emojis, anything works, and then pop it back in there. And then you're set. And then you can make sure specificity sells, make that front loaded so I know my antenna's up. Oh, he or she or they are for me. Don't be generic. Don't be founder, because that gets us nowhere, right? I mean, unless you have something relevant with it. But that is probably the most important area to dust off. If you're going to start there, let's do that. But all in all, Michelle, this was a quick and actionable episode, and I think it's just a good fresh start to get people to start thinking about the importance of updating their profile.
It's worth the effort. I know it's not fun, but when you get your profile right, it just sings, and everybody else can tell that you've put the effort in. So it's definitely worth it.
Absolutely. Until next week, everybody, keep putting yourself out there. You have a brand to build, a business to grow, and people to impact. We'll catch you next time. Take care.
Cheers.